Growing up, as the searing pain of a sickle cell crisis would spread through her veins, Tangela Bolden Myers asked her mother if she was going to die.
I ask her now to this day, I'm like, Mom, how did you look me in my face and not break? Every time I asked you that. And she would be like, no, baby, you're not going to die this time. You're not going to die.
Doctors believe that the pain of a sickle cell crisis comes from a patient's crescent-shaped red blood cells building up in the vein and cutting off oxygen to tissue and bones. If it persists, the lack of oxygen can damage vital organs. Treatment is improving, but most people diagnosed with sickle cell disease still die prematurely. Bolden Myers manages most of her pain with the Vicodin she keeps at home in a locked safe. But sometimes, an infection will trigger a pain so severe she has to go to the emergency room. She says that 9 times out of 10, doctors will assume she's faking the pain to get opioid-based medications.
I have had to title drop, name drop, to say that I have this degree and that degree and I'm a certified trade counselor. And I'm in tears, or I'm crying, or I'm screaming, or I'm rocking and moaning, or all of these things together, and you just want to assume that I'm drug seeking.
This is important. Sickle cell disease is genetic and primarily affects people of African descent. Dr. Allison King, a hematologist, says most of her patients are also poor enough to qualify for Medicaid. When the decision to prescribe becomes a judgment call, race and class are now factors.
So if you imagine that I'm a 20-year-old black male who comes into the ER and I say, I have sickle cell anemia, I usually need, 3 milligrams of Dilaudid a couple times to get my pain under control, the default is this is a young black kid looking for drugs.
In one study 6 years ago, sickle cell patients waited almost twice as long as patients with kidney stones in the emergency room, even though they rated their pain higher. King says her patients at St. Louis Children's Hospital get fast-tracked, but for adults,
it's almost like you have to carry some type of proof that you have sickle cell disease.
There are about 1,000 people living with sickle cell disease in St. Louis, and I met 7 of them for this story. 6 said they had been accused of pill-seeking in the emergency room, leading to delays in care or lower doses of medication. At SSM St. Mary's Hospital in St. Louis County, Dr. Paul Pfeiffer says he knows this is an issue. But an estimated 2 million Americans are addicted to pain pills. 19,000 will die each year from an overdose.
Sometimes we have a tendency not to give pain medications because I think there's, this thought that, that we do have a lot of seekers.
Unless they can reach a patient's physician, Pfeiffer and his colleagues are often making this call in the dark. Missouri is the only state without a prescription drug monitoring database, which would show how many opioid prescriptions a patient has filled recently.
They don't have a tattoo right up on their forehead says, I'm seeking, but I think you see the personality, the way they respond to some suggestions on what you're going to do, and some become irate or they're just inappropriate, that there are some addictive patterns.
St. Louis County passed a measure last month to set up a drug monitoring system of its own, and Pfeiffer says he's setting up protocols to help treat sickle cell patients more effectively. But Bolden Myers says this is why it's so important for doctors and nurses to know and understand sickle cell disease.
Regardless of whatever their reasons or their prejudices are, you didn't say that you would only service those that didn't have sickle cell, or you would service those that you didn't feel were drug-seeking. You took an oath to serve everyone.
And she says, to do no harm. I'm Dari Buscarin, St. Louis Public Radio.